welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello, beautiful people of Steelers Nation. Thank you for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Strackbine, joined every Tuesday and Thursday by my main man, Donnie Droon. We got a special Party Hat Tuesday edition here with some Deontay Johnson talk. The Pittsburgh Steelers making noise in the wide receiver market as soon as an AFC North man becomes available, and a little bit of a switch up in some predictions for the NFL draft. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Donnie, it's a rainy one here in the Berg, but it's April. You can't expect anything less. How you feeling, my man?
Feeling great. Shout out to Aiden in the chat already complimenting the boy with the hat. Appreciate you. I think the actual title of the hat is like a summer hat, just to like wear out in the summer sun. It is 95 degrees and sunny here. It's going to hit triple digits, not this upcoming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, day before the draft. But it's getting hot. It's getting hot in Phoenix. It's getting hot in the Steelers war room, where we still have no idea what the Steelers are going to do at pick number 20, if they're even going to stay at 20, whether it's moving up or moving back down. But it's a little bit too far out in the future. Noah Strackbine, I'm doing phenomenal. Thank you for asking.
Every time you talk about the weather, I just get a little mad at you. Like, why? There's just a little part of me that wants to, like, Will Smith the whole state of Arizona. Just once.
Yo, it is 420 Eve, too, to those who celebrate.
Happy holidays to our friends
out
there.
Make sure to leave milk and cookies out for Snoop Dogg.
I've never heard that. No, I'm kidding. I have heard that one. But we're the feds, as everybody knows, so we don't celebrate 420 Eve. That being said, the Pittsburgh Steelers do celebrate the open market, adding Miles Boykin, former Baltimore Raven, former third-round pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, now a Pittsburgh Steeler. You saw the news, and it happened rather quickly. Were you excited? Were you disappointed? What were your first thoughts there?
It really didn't move the needle for me. I went back and I looked at his profile. He was a third-round pick in 2019. He battled a hamstring injury last year. He only played in 8 games. He was never really like super productive, but you do like a lot of the traits about him. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. The Steelers are picking up the last year of his deal, which is worth $2.54 million. So if you're paying that price tag, you do expect him to at least contribute on special teams, where he did play 63% of the snaps. And then since he only played in 8 games, had he doubled that and played the entire season, he would have been a top 5 special teamer for the Baltimore Ravens, just in terms of snap counts. So, I mean, his receiving abilities aside, the Steelers always get excited whenever they can add a valuable special teams guy. And I think that's at worst what he's going to bring to Pittsburgh. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I don't think this impacts, their wants or need to go get another extremely viable option in the early rounds of the NFL draft. Claypool's 23, Deontay's 25, and Boykin's 25. And that's about as seasoned as it gets on the Steelers wide receiver core right now.
Yeah, I didn't think about the special teams aspect of it. $2.5 million. I hope that he does more than special teams, but it is a good contribution to special teams. The Steelers like their gunners. It's good enough for right now. That being said, though, I think Boykin has an opportunity to come in here and actually contribute. And people don't really like what they've seen from him. I don't like what I've seen from him. He's done literally nothing in the NFL. I think he has like 470 yards or something like that. I get that he dealt with a hamstring injury last season, but still, he never developed into what he could have developed into. That could change in Pittsburgh. I think at most, or bottom line, Boykin has an opportunity to play that 4 spot for the Steelers, be a replacement for Chase Claypool while keeping a big body on the field. And you could take some pressure off of having to find 2 capable wide receivers in the NFL draft. Because before today, the Steelers needed, I mean, we both believed it was a second or third round guy. And then they definitely had to double dip at some point and find somebody that was capable to actually play this season. I think now you could just, if you want a double dip, you could go find a guy that adds some versatility and has some upside, but doesn't need to come in day one.
Yeah, and I more so looked at him as a replacement for James Washington, you know, if anything, kind of at worst being that like 4th receiver role. I do like his frame, that the big body, like you pointed out, 6'4", 220 is definitely a nice red zone target for whoever's playing quarterback in Pittsburgh next year, probably Mitch Trubisky, to go out and target. And you have to remember, too, I do think had he played anywhere else other than Baltimore, I don't think his production would have been just like absolutely insane or through the roof. But we do have to remember the offense that he played in and the system that he played in, too. Now, granted, he was a third round pick, so he was expected to come to the league and do something. But if when you're playing receiver in Baltimore, you kind of are what you are. Like, they are not going to develop talent. They are not going to make you a better receiver. That's just not their MO on offense. They're going to run the ball 30, 35 times a game, and you're going to be lucky if your name's not Mark Andrews to catch, like, three passes in a game, you feel?
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I've heard a lot of that excuse the last 2 hours or so, and I think that, like, Baltimore doesn't have weapons, but I also think that that's because Baltimore just has – no weapons. I mean, Marquise Brown should have been a lot more than he has been at this point in his career. I thought they had something in Boykin, and he just turned out to be nothing. Like, Mark Andrews is top five tight end in the NFL. Stunned. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I think – I don't know if it's necessarily – like, I believe you in the – they need to figure out how to develop wide receivers better than they currently do. Like, I definitely agree with you there. But I'm not going to – like – my upside for Boykin isn't very high, if that
makes sense. I think him playing in Baltimore is kind of the reason why his floor is kind of where it's at. And then, sure, he could probably get a little bit better as a receiver with the Steelers, but like, especially you look at his career and you look at where he's kind of like projecting right now, I don't think you're expecting anything crazy out of the guy, you know, and you know, whether or not that's his fault or Baltimore's fault, excuse me, can be argued all day, but in the NFL, especially after your third season, you are what you are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like I said, at the end of this whole thing, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers made the right move just because it takes pressure off of finding two capable receivers in the NFL draft. Because right now, you could go in, we're saying George Pickens, Sky Moore has been on the board. A lot of those guys with round two, maybe round three, if you're feeling a little ballsy. And then you could take a risk on a guy that has a lot of upside, maybe a lot of speed, maybe could play across the field. They don't have a true X outside of Deontay Johnson. You could go find somebody like that. Boykin could handle that James Washington type role. Now, I don't think that develops into anything, but maybe. Maybe. Do you think it's a possibility that they don't draft a second wide receiver? Do you think that maybe they're just comfortable enough with Cody White, Anthony Miller, and Rico Bussey back there in the end of the depth chart?
No, and I don't know if that's me being optimistic that they're not wanting to settle with the current group of guys they have, or if that's just kind of me trying to play the logical person here. I think receiver is still very much a very high need in the upcoming draft. It wouldn't surprise me to see first round, but you definitely expect somebody to, you know, be taken in the second or third if another position is addressed on Thursday night.
What about later in the draft?
I'm sorry?
What about like sixth? Like, what about like that second wide receiver? Do you think that there's a possibility they walk out of here now and say, maybe we don't need two guys?
I would lean more towards that thinking, to where if you do get like a top notch guy and you have your trio of rookie receiver, Claypool and Deontay, and then you have Miles Boykin as your like fourth, kind of like that James Washington role, like I alluded to earlier. I don't think you're terribly upset at that, but like if there's a guy there you think can make your football team better and you're comfortable with all the other holes that you've filled in the roster, yeah, I think you should be all for it. You can never have too many receivers, you know, especially with the 17th game being added. You know, guys are not going to stay healthy throughout the entire course of the season. And I mean, to kind of play into what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, I mean, there could be future implications on trying to get a receiver in this draft to kind of cover some holes that might be there moving forward.
Oh, yeah. And that is a good point, is the Steelers have, I mean, Deontay's up next season, and we're about to talk about that, whether or not that's going to happen, or we have 2 years and then Chase Claypool is on the top, and good old Smitty, Tyler, whoever this is. Check out our boys at Around the 412, by the way. We'll give them a shout out. You have to be here from the beginning, guys. They'll be just jumping in. It's Party Hat Tuesdays. Come on.
Party Hat Tuesdays, bro.
All right, so let's talk about Deontay Johnson. Nobody wants to talk about Deontay Johnson anymore, but it is the hottest topic of Steelers Nation and one that I am starting to feel rather strongly about. Deontay Johnson is reportedly now, I think the number is $22 million. I couldn't even tell you where that came from, but that's all everybody's talking about. At the same time, he didn't show up for day one of voluntary workouts. No big deal whatsoever. And people are starting to really, really dive into his tweets here about, like, yep, if they don't have the story, they're going to make one. Don't believe everything you see. Mm-hmm. Your own fans, you know, the my favorite one is chin up gangster. You Ben knew the love was fake. That is like such a classic wide receiver tweet. Like, just like, yo, the devil moves silently with your mm-hmm. friends. Type tweet. And I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. He's just the definition of a wide receiver times a million. Let me ask this. Unless you have thoughts. Do you have thoughts?
No, good.
Okay, let me ask this. Is the drama overblown, or are people rational about Deontay Johnson tweeting some things out, not showing up to day one of voluntary workouts, the whole nine?
I'll say this. I think that Deontay is looking for an extension, and I think he feels like he deserves that extension. And I think that a lot of people who have watched Deontay Johnson over the last couple of years also believe he deserves an extension. Now, when you're an NFL player, obviously you want X dollar amount. You want that contract to be a certain length of time. And you want it sooner rather than later, because God forbid something happened to you and you don't have that financial security for whatever future. Mm-hmm. But you also got to understand that these things take time. I have the people that think the Steelers just sit there and don't entertain the thought of extending Deontay Johnson until a bright summer day in July, and you're like, oh, hey, we should probably get this guy locked up since he's heading into the final year of his contract. You know, it's like, no, like these are conversations that are held beginning like last season, you know, and they kind of carry over into the situation we're at now. I mean, guys like Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, those are all guys that are also not planning on showing up to voluntary workouts, may I add. Voluntary. This isn't training camp. This isn't preseason. This is voluntary. Hey, bro, how many reps of 225 can you do workouts? I think Deontay is having a little bit of fun with people with the tweets, mm-hmm. but you also got to understand, you don't need to take these tweets at face value, but on the other side of the coin, these guys know what they're doing. Like, oh, yeah. Deontay is not tweeting this stuff for fun, you know?
No. Deontay is, I mean, he's a wide receiver, so he's like the smartest social media man on the team, probably. That's just how they move and operate. I think that it's overblown in the sense of it's not directed towards the team. I don't think the Steelers and Deontay have even sat down and had one conversation about whether or not he's going to get extended. That's not going to happen until Minka gets a deal done, because that's how they operate. And he's seeing all the hate. And I think that's the big thing, is like, I'm starting to see, and this has been going on forever, but like, it's hit a point where I start to question like extreme things. Like, was Terrell Owens really like that crazy of a person? Or like, did people just kind of overblow that? You know, a lot of things. I mean, Antonio Brown's the exception, but you see these things. Deebo Samuel's getting death threats. AJ Brown, Tennessee Titans fans destroying AJ Brown, like Deontay Johnson feeling completely abandoned by Steelers Nation because of this, because people don't want to sign him for $20 million a year, which is not a lot of money for a wide receiver next year or the year after. And we'll see that. I am starting to think that we make wide receivers divas. Divas don't become Our wide receivers don't become divas, if that makes sense.
So I agree, mm-hmm. but I also think that wide receivers, and I think you almost need to be a little bit of a diva to kind of carry yourself as a top five receiver, if you believe so, that you don't, whenever you're playing in the league, you kind of need that chip on your shoulder, don't you? You kind of need to walk around the facility like, hey, like, I'm the best here. Like, I am the best pass catcher here. I'm like top five in the league. And so like, certainly that adds up over time, you know, and especially in like a league and just like a football world where like 7-on-7s are like very like dominant now. Like there's like so many like viral social media clips of like receivers just like winning like 1-on-1 matchups and like all these like recruiting battles heading from high school to college and, you know, college to the pros. And like everything's kind of like a look at me, look at what I'm doing, social media aspect where, you know, everything's kind of laid on the ground. I don't know. I would not call Deontay Johnson a diva because we saw divas in Pittsburgh. We saw divas in Pittsburgh. Like textbook dictionary, look it up. Here's what it is, divas, and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. I don't think we're quite there yet with Deontay. I'm not sure if we ever get there with Deontay. But to kind of go back to my point earlier, homeboy knows exactly what he's doing with those tweets. And yeah, I do think a lot of people do wish that Deontay would shut up and just go out and play football.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, okay, so I know, and that's the perfect, thank you so much for saying those words. Deontay Johnson, until like right now, has been that guy. And like, I've had conversations with Deontay just asking him like, hey dude, have you always been the dude that's just real quiet and it's just like, I'm just going to let my actions speak for itself. And he's like, yeah, man, all throughout high school. And Ray McLeod said the same thing. Like, yo, Deontay has always just been this dude that's just real chill. He's not going to say a lot. Now everybody's hating on Deontay, saying Deontay isn't worth this, Deontay isn't worth that, get rid of Deontay. And now Deontay's like, well, you know, maybe I got something to say because I'm taking this a little bit as disrespect. And he should be taking it as disrespect because that's what it is. Good.
No. Continue your rant because I want to ask you a question whenever you're done.
And I don't really have much more. I think that it's hit a point now where the fans, and like that sucks because I don't want to call the fans out because the fans are allowed to have their opinions just like we're allowed to have our opinions, and Deontay is allowed to have his opinion. Like, I get it. Like, and I get the argument. Like, I get that side of it is this Pittsburgh Steelers don't pay wide receivers this kind of money. Deontay Johnson isn't a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, so he shouldn't be paid like a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. But I also get the other side of it that says Deontay Johnson is worth $20 million right now because next year he's going to be worth $25 million. And when, you know, somebody surpasses Tyreek Hill, you know, it's just going to keep going up and up. My other thing is Deebo Samuels, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill. Those are the guys that everybody keeps bringing up in this argument. The whole, well, he's not these guys. Well, he's not going to get paid like these guys. Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, and Deebo Samuels will be in their tax bracket. Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill are in the pretty much 30-ish tax bracket. Yeah, Neverland of wide receiver money. Deontay Johnson's chilling at a sound $20 million, which is Brandon Cook's tax bracket, and I feel real comfortable placing him in that category because I think he's better than Brandon Cooks, but he puts up the same amount of numbers.
See, we had this conversation, I feel like a couple weeks ago, after Christian Kirk signed that deal to where he was making, what $18, $20 million a year. Shout out to his agent, by the way. That man deserves a statue of him to be built somewhere for getting Christian Kirk that deal. Never had 1,000 yards receiving and got paid like a wide receiver number one. So shout out to Christian Kirk.
He got paid more than Chris Godwin. Yeah. Rough. If I'm Chris Godwin, I'm firing my agent yesterday.
I think the reality of the league that we're watching unfold right now is that it's always going to be a league that tries to one-up the other. And I think Jalen Ramsey went on a podcast a couple weeks ago and just perfectly summed it up. This is where it is what it is. Like, if I'm making $24 million, the next guy above him that wants to get paid, he should get 25, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's always this league to where you're always looking to be the X amount paid, whether it's highest or top five, top 10, whatever it might be. The problem is that the longer the Steelers wait to sign Deontay Johnson, the more that price tag is going to climb. Months ago, Noah Strackmine, we sat on this podcast and we discussed whether or not we would pay Deontay Johnson $15 million a year. Yep. 1-5. Now, we're basically conceding that he's probably going to get $20 million a year, as he should. As he should. Like you pointed out, if he's making money like Brandon Cooks, Christian Kirk, just guys along that area. I mean, we can all agree Deontay Johnson is probably a better receiver than those two guys, no?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that.
If you wait this long time and guys like Debo, guys like Terry McLaurin, guys like A.J. Brown hit those deals, you are only setting the bar higher and higher for Deontay and his agent to go, hey, so X, Y, and Z got paid 1, 2, and 3. Here's where we're going to start. Where if you would have done this a few months ago, or even in retrospect, whenever we're talking in the future, if we would have done this now, the price tag would have been lower than, you know, it would have saved you a couple million per season if you would have just got the deal out of the way. But to your point, we all know that Minka is priority number one for the Steelers, as he should be, and Deontay's just got to wait.
Let me ask this, though. Do you think that, so like in the beginning, obviously that $5 million gap has happened, or that jump has happened, and that was a mistake on the Steelers' part, but that's how they move. Do you think now, like A.J. Brown is not going to get $30 million a year?
No.
Debo Samuels is probably going to get $25, $26 million a year, which is nuts, but Debo Samuels is kind of a different character. Yep. Terry McLaurin's probably going to be in the A.J. Brown category. Do you think that that's actually a good thing for the Steelers? Like if they all sign at like that $24 million range, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to look at Deontay and say like, okay, man, like for one, you're not these guys. Like, and we could be straightforward about that. You're not these guys. And we don't value you as these guys. And two, like we're the Pittsburgh Steelers and yeah, we're trying to keep you around, but we have to build a team moving forward. I think that like goes like TJ Watt signed a record-breaking deal, but still kept his cap hit relatively low for the Steelers. I think Minka will be somewhat in the same range. I think Deontay has an opportunity, like, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I think that the Steelers have an opportunity to let these guys sign and say, okay, well, their value is 24, your value is 21. And Deontay's like, yeah, you know, maybe I feel comfortable with that.
So I think whenever we talk about contracts and, you know, signing guys to extensions, a lot of salary cap magic can get lost in just thinking, hey, this guy is going to make X amount per year. Here's guaranteed money. Here's the amount of years he signed for. Here's his roster bonuses and all the good stuff. You can maneuver the salary cap extremely well to where, especially in a world where the salary cap is going to continue to skyrocket like it's going to in the next couple years, or at least that's how it's going to be projected. You can finagle Deontay's cap hit to be lower the next couple years, and then it proceedingly gets higher as the salary cap jumps. Like, you do not have to be married to a singular cap figure per season. It's not like even if you do sign him for $21, $24 million a year, it's not like you are only stuck with that. You can maneuver money around. You can convert money into roster bonuses to save you X amount of money on the salary cap if you're really pressed for it. And especially for a Steelers organization that has proven the capability to do that offseason after offseason, I'm just not worried about it. Like if I'm stuck at like $20 million if I'm the Steelers, because like let's be real, I think that's where it's gonna start for Deontay, around that like 19, 20 million area. And Deontay wants 23 or like 24. Like
how much wiggle room
are you going to allow yourself?
I'm giving zero. I'm not going. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers and you're Deontay Johnson and you want $22 million a year, I'm saying sorry, but we're going to move on. Because I think that that's just a little bit unreasonable.
I think at this moment in time right now, I don't think you can do that.
I do. Why not? Why can't you do that?
If Chase Claypool was anything close to the receiver that the Steelers drafted him to be, then I think you have leverage. Because you could say, okay, we have Chase Claypool. We just took a guy in the first round or second round of the NFL draft. Cool. Adios. We'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They don't.
Yeah, but
If Deontay Johnson walks next year and you're stuck with Chase Claypool, a first or second round pick, and then Miles Boykin as your third receiver, you're not feeling great about that.
But I get that right now. But in a month from now, I think that situation could be different. Because if you have, and this is all hypothetical, but if you have Deontay, George Pickens, Chase Claypool, you're probably going to move on from Boykin the year after.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe somebody else, maybe Danny Gray late in the round. what's stopping you from saying, okay, Deontay Johnson's too expensive. Let's franchise tag him, try to deal him somewhere. Because if you franchise tag him and try to deal him somewhere, you could wheel and deal your way into maybe a first round pick. And I think that that's a possibility. And if not, you have Deontay Johnson for a season on a reasonable salary. And at that point, he's going to be 27 years old. So you're not even looking to re-sign him at that point. You're just looking, okay, let's move on. I mean,
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you. One, I see the people in the comments talk about the drops, and don't get me wrong, I am 1,000% with those people, because I do think the drops, and we've debated this. I think the drops kind of came back at the end of the season. I still think he had a really good year last year, but that still kind of concerns me a little bit. Say what you need to say before we dive into the franchise tag stuff.
If Deontay Johnson dropped 5 passes last season. If Deontay Johnson, which is significantly down, the year before it was 13 passes. Last year it was 5 passes. Say he dropped 5 passes last year, or even more. Say he dropped 8 or 9 passes last year, which is a significant number. But they all happened before week 14 of the NFL season. You'd complain. Everybody would complain and complain and complain all season long that Deontay Johnson's dropping the football. And then he comes through in clutch time and he doesn't drop any passes.
Right.
Are we even having this conversation about drops? Or are people just totally ignoring it? Because I think that until week 17 of the NFL season, everybody was all gung-ho. Deontay Johnson is one of the best. And then you drop 2 passes in a playoff game, which I understand is a big deal. But he dropped 2 passes in a playoff game, and all of a sudden, everybody's like, this dude cannot catch a football for the life of him. My God. And I'm just like, dude, he dropped 2 passes, came back, and caught a touchdown. In my opinion, everybody is so overblown with that nonsense. Like, it's 5 drop passes. If he improves the way he improved last season, two seasons ago to the last season, he'll have -3 drops in 2022. I think it's a little early. I think it's a little early to be saying, oh, he's always going to drop passes.
I do agree with a lot of what you just said. And I think the difference is that if he dropped those passes in the beginning 3 or 4 weeks of the season and he finishes strong, then yeah, we're kind of celebrating him a little bit and talking about DJ as, you know, the next guy that's going to be paid in Pittsburgh. But it didn't happen like that. It did not happen like that. We do not play the if game here on All Steelers Talk. Deontay Johnson, it did not come through clutch for the Steelers whenever the Steelers needed him. And I think that's a big reason why fans are not like reluctant to pay him, but it's like, okay, well, if we're paying you $20 million a year, bro, you got to catch those passes, man, especially towards the end of the year in crunch time. You definitely have to do this. Okay, so.
Okay.
What number do you think Deontay's gunning for? Like per year?
I don't know. I would say 20. If I'm Deontay Johnson, I'm gunning for $20 million a year, and I'm feeling real good about that number.
What number are you, Noah Strackbine, comfortable with paying him?
$20 million. Okay. I'm very comfortable with him getting $20 million a year.
Because I was looking at the because he's going into his last year of his contract, and if they don't ink him to an extension this offseason – it might be anybody's guess to where he lands next offseason, right? Especially with the salary cap jumping up. $20 million is going to look like the new $15 million. I mean, it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the franchise tag, because I was looking at the figures for this year. And granted, these are going to go up, but the non-exclusive tag was set at $18.4 million, and the transition tag was set at $16.78 million. They're going to jump,
yeah,
but not drastically, right? Nope. Not like by $15 million a year. What would be your thoughts of holding off on extending Deontay, letting him play 2022, and then slapping him with one of those tags?
If he's going to look for more than $22 million a year, I feel totally fine with that. Because at the same time, and just like I said, and I think we'll have a better understanding in a week and a half after the draft, but I think that there's a possibility that in 2 years you don't really need Deontay Johnson. And that stinks because I think that you do need Deontay Johnson, and the offense is obviously better with Deontay Johnson. But it's such a wheel and deal league this year that I don't think that's going to slow down. And I think there's going to be people making phone calls for Deontay Johnson next season. Like, hey, like, you know, my wide receiver is asking for $25 million. Deontay's got a franchise tag for $20.5 million. I'm just going to take him. Like, and I think that people will make those phone calls, especially if he has a good year. Like, I don't expect Deontay Johnson to get worse in 2022. I expect him to get significantly better, like significantly better, especially now. Like, if everything goes as planned, and, you know, that means no injuries the whole nine, Deontay is mad, he's motivated, and he's only getting better. So I just have a hard time believing that people aren't going to be like, oh, this dude is legit in his fourth year in the NFL. It's not like he's been here a long time.
Yeah, and there are a couple different tags the Steelers can use on Deontay should they choose to not extend him this offseason. You do have the exclusive franchise tag, which is pretty much the highest tag available. The player cannot talk to any other teams if they are hit with the exclusive tag. A top five average of the current wide receiver market, or I think it's like 120% higher than the player's salary, whichever is higher. Then you have the non-exclusive tag, which does allow other teams to negotiate with said player, in this case, Deontay Johnson. The Steelers can choose not to match the offer, or they could choose to match it. But if they choose not to match the offer, say another team offers Deontay Johnson, the Steelers would receive two first-round picks from that team, and then the non-exclusive tag would be top five money for the past five seasons. So it is going to be a little bit lower than the exclusive. And then you have the good old Le'Veon Bell transition tag that was used a few years back on him. Top 10 players at the position. The Steelers would have right of refusal, but no compensation if they choose not to match.
I think you slap them with an exclusive rights tender. You wait for somebody to come, try to make them an offer. If that offer is too high, you say, whatever, man, give me two first round picks. We move on from there. That sounds like a very reasonable time for me. That being said, if Deontay Johnson's okay with $20 million, sign $20 million a year, say, sorry, everybody who hates this, but he's worth the money, because that money's not a lot of money right now, especially if you don't have a quarterback contract. People are acting like the Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble. They're not. They're nowhere near in trouble, and they're not going to be for the next five, 6 years. So make it happen. Keep it trucking. It is what it is. I want to answer Phantom TV's question here. A lot of Steelers blogs say that the Steelers aren't interested in Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. I would agree with that. I don't know what the Steelers' interest is in Burks, but I do know that I have not seen him on any mock drafts to the Steelers, and I've seen him fall way past the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20. Do you think that's just a maybe he's just has that medium value, like a Jahan Dotson, where it's like that's not really worth it because he's not going to be there at 52, but he's too early to pick at 20?
Yeah, the thing with Burks is that you get really excited watching him like outrun guys after the catch, and the dude has a tremendously big frame, but you're kind of wary that like his route tree isn't very exclusive, and it's so hard to take a guy with his body frame that can't run those routes extremely well. And the Steelers need another route runner. Like, they need another guy who can consistently win one-on-one matchups. I'm not talking 40 yards down the field winning jump balls. I'm talking, like, intermediate routes. If Deontay is going to get a lot of attention, you're going to need somebody on the opposite side of the field that can consistently get themselves open. And Burks is fast. Burks moves very, very smoothly for a big man. But a lot of people do have those questions to where if he can get separation from NFL-level corners, and I think that's where you start to see the discrepancy between the difference between him going at, like, pick number 15, 20, that area, and then the middle stages of the second round.
I agree with that. I also think that he just doesn't fit, just like you said, what the Steelers are necessarily looking for. Like, the Steelers need an X. That's what they need. They need an X receiver, because most times X receivers could jump into the slot and run routes very well. Deontay Johnson's that guy. George Pickens, I believe, is that guy. Jahan Dotson, I believe, is that guy. I don't – Burks is like another Claypool. A better Claypool, I believe, but like another Claypool. So he's just going to play that same role that Chase plays, that now Miles Boykin plays. I don't necessarily see him coming to Pittsburgh. It would be fascinating if he fell to 52, though. If he fell to 52 somehow, I would say he's worth it, no doubt. Maybe depending on who's on the board.
Yeah, I would agree. And we have to remember, too, while the Steelers have been very bad at trying to hide their first-round crushes, I mean, Chase Claypool talked about it after he was drafted to Pittsburgh, how he said he had no clue the Steelers were even interested in taking him in the second round because they really didn't show it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's how the Steelers operate. Look, if the Pittsburgh Steelers came through and every single one of their draft picks was a total surprise, I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, that's Mike Tomlin for you. It's what he does here, and I would hate every single thing about it. Let's ask this. Let's answer this as well. Cornerback or safety in the first round if they don't sign a safety before the NFL draft? Let me ask a two-parter here. Do you believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers make a move at safety before the draft? And if they don't, do you think it impacts at all if the Steelers want to go defense first round?
I think boundary corner, regardless, is going to be an early priority for the Steelers. Safety is where you get kind of interesting. Because, by all accounts and reports that, you know, everything we're seeing and hearing, it's kind of down to, like, Tyrann Mathieu, Terrell Edmunds, or a guy early in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel comfortable heading into the draft without having a guy like Tyrann Mathieu? I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Mathieu's a guy who could probably wait the entire NFL draft process and still land with a team for pretty decent money and, like, not have to worry about his role. Terrell Edmunds, on the other hand, if he's looking to jump ship and hop onto another team, he better do that sooner rather than later. Because if a team needs a safety and they get one in the first round, homeboy's going to be bagging groceries.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that one. Terrell Edmunds, Tyrann Mathieu does not – he could sign day one of the NFL season. He's the starting safety for any team. Terrell Edmunds is pushing his luck here, and I don't understand that. Like, I started to think about it yesterday, and I was like, it makes no sense for Terrell Edmunds to not have a new team or re-sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, his market's either crazy, and he's like, he tweeted out decisions to make or something like a week ago, and we still haven't heard anything. And I'm like, how many offers do you actually have? At the same time, there's a part of me that thinks, like, maybe he has nothing. Maybe he's got the Pittsburgh Steelers a low ball offer, and he's just like, I don't want to do that. Not yet.
Do you think it's the Steelers, though? Do you think the Steelers got feedback from Terrell and his agent where they're like, hey, like, market's not really what we want. We want to come back to Pittsburgh. The Steelers are like, oh, let's hold on. We got Honey Badger right here. There's a couple dudes in the draft process. We like, so why don't we pump the brakes on you coming back? And then we'll talk about it here in a couple weeks.
So I don't know, because, you know, Didi came out and said that the Steelers made an offer for him, and I guess I'll believe it until I don't believe it. But right now I'd say maybe. But like the decisions tweet, and I wish I could find it. The decisions tweet by Terrell Edmunds, where it just said decisions to make or something. All I kept thinking was, what are the decisions? Like, how many teams do you have that you're not making a call right now to sign with a team? If you're any other safety in the league right now, and we've seen it, you're jumping on a ship because you understand how deep this market is in the NFL draft. Like, you could get a guy in the third round that's probably just as good as Terrell Edmunds. Now, there will be hiccups, obviously, but the potential is there. And Edmunds has pretty much hit his ceiling here in the NFL. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Bro, that tweet would have had to have been about dinner. That had to be about where he was getting dinner that night, man. Because, like, the safety market in the last couple off seasons has not been tremendous at all. And if you're competing with Tyrann Mathieu, just in terms of, like, where you might potentially want to land and play football next year, come on.
I get it. That's where this whole thing's coming from. Like, I just don't – I have been so mind-blown by it. Like, it's occupied so much of my brain for the last week that I'm just like, what do we not know? Like, what are you sitting over there with right now, man? Like, let somebody know. So I don't know. That being said, to answer my own question from earlier, I don't believe the Pittsburgh Steelers sign anybody until the NFL draft, because I think they want to see how the NFL draft operates. I think they believe that there's a possibility that somebody slides and people are going to laugh like, oh, Kyle Hamilton. But our man Pittman out here in the comments has been saying Kyle Hamilton for a month now. And
true,
if he slides, like if he starts to slide, the Pittsburgh Steelers could go make a move. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities. At the same time, I think Jaquan Brisker, who Derek wrote a good article about today at allsteelers.com, that he could be there in round two, and he's an option to start day one with as much potential as Terrell Edmonds. And then you could even go as deep as the third round, maybe find somebody like Nick Cross out of Maryland, who's roommates with Dino Tomlin. So I just think that they want to see how it all falls out and then go from there and say, okay, well, you know, we didn't get anybody crazy. Let's go get Tyrann Mathieu. Or, yo, we got Brisker. We don't really need to sign anybody. We feel comfortable with Brisker starting and Trey Norwood operating as that backup. That's just how I feel. And wait, real quick. I just want to answer this. Jaquan Brisker might be small, but he is so strong that he has to lift with the linemen at Penn State because it's too annoying. He said that it's too annoying for the rest of the defensive backs to put on as much weight for Brisker as he needs when they work out. So he has to go work out with linemen. So
that's actually wild,
right? So like he might be like, he might not have like the biggest frame, but this dude is, he's a strong one, dude. He has a potential to be nasty at a strong safety position. But yeah, I believe that that's a possibility. All right, let's talk quarterback coach here, because the Pittsburgh Steelers hired a new assistant quarterback coach. David Corley was the running back coach at Richmond University last year. He's got a long list of offensive positions to are in the college ranks. He was hired through the new Art Rooney rule, where teams have to have a minority offensive assistant starting in 2022 and moving forward. I love the rule. First off, any help we could possibly get to really boost up the diversity in the NFL, I'm all about.
Yes, sir.
That being said, people are really overblowing this and saying, oh, well, this is a guarantee that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to draft a quarterback. I heard it all day long on the radio, all day long on Twitter. Not necessarily going to say it was from fans, but maybe people that are just trying to hype things up that don't need to be hyping things up. Is it hyped up, or maybe I'm being a little pessimistic here?
It's certainly strange going from having an offensive coordinator and no quarterbacks coach to having an offensive coordinator and now two quarterback coaches, basically, because he does join Mike Sullivan on the staff as well. I don't think this reveals any cards at all in the Steelers' hands, but it would certainly help if you do get a young quarterback and you happen to have two quarterback coaches. And you know what? Maybe, to play devil's advocate here, maybe they want it for Mitch.
What?
Maybe.
What? Really?
I mean, if you're okay, let's be real about Mitch Trubisky here.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Didn't have a great start in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Had a year to sit back and chill in Buffalo behind Josh Allen.
Yep.
Steelers think there might still be a little bit of oil left in that tank, right?
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that.
All right. So, I mean, what's the hurt in bringing on another assistant quarterback coach?
I mean, I like the idea of another assistant coach. You caught me off guard by maybe it's for the Mitch thing. Like,
it might be.
It could be. Like, it definitely could be if they believe
for a young quarterback.
I mean, it could be. My thought is exactly pretty much what you said outside of the Mitchell Trubisky thing. That one caught me a little off guard. Also outside of the Mason Rudolph thing, I think at this point, those two are like, if we can't do this ourselves, we can't do this at all. The young quarterback thing though, like I think that that's a good opportunity for them to add a quarterback. I still am on the Desmond Ridder is going round one to the Pittsburgh Steelers train, and I'm not going to jump off that. So I think that that's a good addition for that. At the same time, I think this means absolutely nothing at all, except for the fact that they really like Frisman Jackson as a wide receiver coach. There's 0 point to give Najee Harris another running back coach because the dude is basically a coach himself. The offensive line already has two coaches. You don't need another one there.
I mean,
might as well. You can need 10. Yeah, no doubt. But they just hired two new ones, so hopefully that, you know, they work out. Yeah. Mike Sullivan's got his hands full with the young group, so it makes some sense.
Yeah, but they could have added a assistant to the offensive coordinator or offensive
assistant
just hired
head coach
or like a special offensive advisor. They could have gone any direction, but they did choose quarterbacks. So I think it's interesting nonetheless, but I don't think there's any tea leaves being revealed here. I really don't.
I don't think this was Mike Tomlin's little hint to be like, all right, guys, we're taking a quarterback round one. I think everything that's happened before this has been Mike Tomlin saying, all right, guys, we're taking quarterback round one. Let you know right now. All right. Aiden's got a question about Hines Ward jumping in the XFL, not the USFL, becoming a head coach. It's a good opportunity. I like Hines Ward as a coach. I'm glad that he's working up the ranks. Rod Woodson's in there as well. I'd like to see what the XFL is before we have deep dives into it because of what happened. Did you see the pizza fiasco with the Pittsburgh Maulers? Because of the pizza fiasco.
Our Pittsburgh Maulers.
and Pizzagate, as some are referring to it as. I thought that was just the most ridiculous thing. I think the craziest part about that whole thing is that they showed it and like they were like, oh, this is behind the scenes. And like they had to know why this happened. You know, like they weren't just like, oh, we didn't realize that it was because the cafeteria guy wouldn't give them a slice of pizza. Like we thought it was deeper than that. Like, why would you put that out? Why would you not just leave that off? Why does somebody have to get cut? Lots of players in the USFL have gotten cut. Why does it have to be this one that we show?
Dude, at the end of the day, man, like leagues like the USFL and the XFL, like it's peanuts, man. It's entertainment until the NFL gets rolling around here in September when the regular season starts. I don't know, man.
I want to know how the conversation went. I want to know how the pizza conversation went. Like, was it like, hey, man, because the way they explained it, it was just like, yo, I just asked for a slice of pizza because I don't eat chicken salad. And the guy said no. And he's like, is this going to be a problem? And he said yes. I would like to know if it was more like it had to be more heat than that. Unless the dude that just offered the pizza. There's two sides of this. Either
I would place a 50-50 bet that homeboy was like, yo, is there pineapple on his pizza? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, I'm out. Cut me.
But that's the thing is it wasn't their pizza. They were eating chicken salad, and then the cafeteria worker walked in with his own tray of pizza. No need for a whole tray of pizza, first of all. Second off, I give pizza to everybody I see walking home from the pizza shop because you deserve a slice of pizza if you're looking for a slice of pizza. Third, I would like to know what the conversation was because I think that there's a 50% chance Devion Smith, who was the running back, just lost his mind for a second, like possibly like threw a bag of chips or something and was like, I want that pizza, man. Give me the pizza. This is going to be an issue. Or the cafeteria worker was just a jerk and got somebody fired. And he was a snitch because it wasn't that big of a deal. And he went and told on him. So one side or the other. But either way, welcome to the Spring League. At least we have some entertainment. And then they played a football game and got smoked. Other takeaway from the USFL week one is don't ever, 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 ever show me a kickoff from a field goal from a different angle than what we see in the NFL ever again in my life. Because that was just annoying. Like, it felt like I was playing Madden and it was like the icing the clock thing where it's like now you're real close to the kicker and you're watching it go through. Like, get out of here. Just show me a normal kick. Stop trying to get crazy. Love the Spring League. Love the Spring League. All right, I think we're out of questions here. We're heading out. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Use our promo code at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. We'll be back on Thursday. Summer Hat Tuesdays out. We'll see you then.